True North Store's beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy 6 Celsius, Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1-liter flavors and get the 7th free. Whether you're craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got the drink for you. As a True Rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy 6 and get the 7th free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something...
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 45% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Sports Radio, 92.9thegame.com.
Sam's over here dancing, man. He's,
oh, yeah, you know what I mean?
He forgot to turn his mic on.
Do that.
He's over here grooving.
Oh, it's the 9 o'clock hour, Sam and Greg. Minus Greg, got Garrett Chapman in.
Hey,
and good morning, Georgia.
Morning.
Let's say hello to the folks over in Bogart.
Georgia.
That is where North
Prince
Oconee.
Avenue Christian, right?
North Oconee.
North Oconee? Oh, yeah. North Oconee. Yeah. David Pollack.
Mm-hmm.
He's
mm-hmm.
coaching mm-hmm. games out there. He's mm-hmm. coaching, I think, the women's basketball team or something this year.
Really?
I think he's coaching basketball, I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
State champions in football. First ever state championship.
And the girls' basketball team is still in the hunt. They're going to play today. If they win today, they're in state championship.
Yeah. But good year for them, man.
Very good year. They got a fantastic program all around.
They sure do. They sure do.
Over there. Great program.
I went out to a game this year. I watched them play. It wasn't Olan. That was Stockbridge. Who did they play out there? I went out to a game out there.
You got Faulkner, quarterback, out there.
I like Dylan Faulkner. That's a talented, talented kid. Buster Faulkner's kid is a Georgia Tech offensive coordinator, of course. But this kid is starting to get some notoriety.
He should.
I think after the way that they performed this year, I remember talking to him after the game, and he came out. I mean, I'm wearing my 92.9 stuff, and I got a 247 gear and everything else. So people come up to me and just start talking. They're like, oh, yeah. I love a 92. Sam Crenshaw, he's the legend. He's the best. I love him. No, but he's coming up, and I just said, dude, keep your head down, keep working. You're somebody who's going to start turning heads because he's a little bit smaller. He needs to put on probably a little bit of weight, and if he grew an inch or two, that'd help too. But I can't really control that part. But look, he's got a great arm, and he has an understanding of the game.
Yeah, and he wins.
That's a really big thing too. But no, I'm excited for that program. They had a huge win this year. Huge step forward. Big 15-0 season. Good for them.
Yeah, absolutely, folks. On this Saturday morning, we've already checked in up at the Combine. We're still going to talk some football. Obviously, you know, what the Falcons do with this offseason. Some interesting things have transpired during this offseason already. Of course, you know, this week we heard from the coach. We heard from general manager talking about what they may be looking for. Up at the combine, not tipping your hand a whole lot, but we know this team's defense.
Yeah.
There's no offensive-related folks that made the trip at all. And to me, that's priority one.
I don't know how so Andy and Randy talked about this too, and Randy McMichael made a great point. It was the fact that, not a lot of offensive coaches are going because the offensive players hadn't reported yet, you know? So they aren't there. So why would they be there at the same time? But I would be a little bit surprised if they send no offensive coaches at any point throughout this process. I think maybe they're sending a message, maybe it just to tell fans, like, hey, this is what this program is going to be doing this offseason. But to send nobody up there, I don't think that that's necessarily a prudent strategy.
Maybe different for the pro days, though, I'm sure.
Sure, yeah, right. And it's going to be different for the pro days. And look, this isn't a team that was super active, I guess, for scouting out quarterbacks necessarily at the NFL Combine. Maybe it's just that we weren't looking for it. Maybe they were and we just didn't notice. But then they go out and draft a quarterback, you know? So
right.
Who knows? Who knows? I mean, T.J. Yates was the quarterback's coach. He was one of the big guys who was up there last year, so maybe that should have been the writing on the wall, if you will. But I think that this team is going to be fine. Look, this team needs to figure out what they're going to do on the defensive side of the ball. That's really what it comes down to, though. The offense, it's going to be fine. You have Michael Penix, who, I mean, let's pump the brakes on him a little bit. I think he's going to be a strong quarterback, but he's still only played 3 games.
Right. Right.
It's week 4 for him, his rookie year. Week 4. You know, he's got a full offseason to prepare and get ready and ramp up, but let's pump the brakes. We don't know what he's going to be. Bijan Robinson, we know what he is. He's a stud. Drake London, we know what he is. He's a stud. Kyle Pitts, notwithstanding.
Yeah.
But look, I think the offense is okay. Go sign Drew Dolman. The offense is going to be just fine. The defense, it needs some work.
Yep.
We'll see what ends up happening with this. The NFL Combine, that's what they're there for. So we'll see.
All right. This week you heard from Terry Fontenot talking on a number of things, and you saw one in particular thing that jumped out for you, right?
Yeah, it's Kirk Cousins. And look, he says this. We're going to go to cut one, Noel. It's the fact that they are comfortable with him being their backup quarterback.
It hasn't changed. And just like with any player at any position or any decision we make, we always have to look at all the circumstances and do what's absolute best for the Atlanta Falcons. But at this point, that hasn't changed.
Yeah, you talk about messages. And the message from Terry Fontenot and the Atlanta Falcons is the fact that they're going to do what's best for the Atlanta Falcons. They sound bites, I mean, you've heard him say that probably now a dozen times. And they are going to do what's best for the Atlanta Falcons. And that may, and I doubt that ends up being cutting Kirk Cousins. I don't think that that's what they're going to do. Are there hard feelings? I have some hard feelings with Kirk Cousins at this point. I blame him for a lot of the problems that this team had last year. I also give him credit for what this team was in the 9 games where he was the starter and they were winning games. So I want to give full disclosure on that fact. But I also lay at his feet the fact that this team did not go to the playoffs for the 7th year in a row.
Yeah.
That's unacceptable in my opinion. But look, he did get us to a good point after 9 games.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. Like, I heard the farm, the Mad Dog rant or whatever about the Cousins situation.
He didn't even know who Terry Fontenot was, so let's pump the brakes on him.
But I mean, but that's actually a microcosm of how I feel about national media and Atlanta sports anyway.
Yeah,
it's like a bunch of highlights and headlines, and then they, you know, form an opinion and they throw it at us like it's fact. But
they don't know us.
He doesn't.
And that's kind of my
point.
They don't
know
us.
I know the Falcons better than he
Cousins.
Does.
Yep. Critique the team, and that's fine, because in my opinion, there was a clear line of demarcation where Cousins should have sat before that happened. That was before the Raiders win, right? But to give Cousins a complete pass on preserving himself at the expense of the team, that part to me was ridiculous. So we're just going to skip over the fact that Kirk Cousins purposely hid whatever injury he had going on to ensure that he didn't lose his starting spot because he heard the Four Horsemen coming up behind him.
Yeah.
That's you can't put it all one way and then completely leave Kirk Cousins clean like nothing happened there.
I don't think anybody's leaving him clean.
Well, in that situation, when I heard Mad Dog in the rant and whatever. And I'm only bringing it up because people, you know, latched onto it so much and then, you know, took it.
Well, because it goes social. I think, and then it goes viral on the internet.
Yeah, and it gets national.
Yeah, exactly.
Whatever.
Exactly.
But those guys don't know. I was going to say something I probably can't say on the radio.
No. This is why I said they don't know us.
They
don't pay attention to us.
And look, I distinctly remember sitting here in studio during the week on the Steakhouse and saying, Kirk Cousins doesn't look healthy. Sandra Golden said it on the air. Kirk Cousins doesn't look healthy. But we saw this when he was doing the QB1 or the quarterback Netflix show. He has his own team. He has his own trainer. He has his own process. And he goes through his own thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the fact that he does that, keeps everything from the Atlanta Falcons, and then calls the fact that he was on the injury report a clerical error.
And he called it himself. That's the important part. He said it.
He called it a clerical error, and that's where I get to the fact that he was intentionally misleading this franchise.
Ding. Yep.
I blame Terry Fontenot and Raheem Morris for not being a little bit more assertive in figuring out what's
there was
wrong.
There was a clear point of demarcation.
They are not clean in this.
At all.
At all. And I want to make that very clear.
Yeah.
The Atlanta Falcons are not clean in this situation.
100%
But
agree.
I lay the fact that this team is not in the did not go to the playoffs at Kirk Cousins' feet.
Yep.
Period. This team was 6-3 with him when he was playing good football, and Raheem Morris and Terry Fontenot thought that he was going to get back to the way that he was playing. However, they didn't have a complete picture based off of the reports that we have seen. They did not know. And on cut two, we can jump to this real quick. He was on the injury report, but they weren't aware of the injury. That's what Terry Fontenot said.
He was on the injury report that week, the week heading into the Denver game. He wasn't on the injury report any other times at any other point in the season outside of that, so we weren't aware of any injuries outside of that. It's our job when a player's injured to make sure he's on the injury report, so that's the only thing we were aware of.
And this is the Falcons protecting themselves in this situation. And if he's not on the injury report, if he's not going to tell you he's hurt, what are you going to do about it?
Yeah. And that's when we're all trying to figure out what's wrong with this guy. What's amiss with him? Is it something physical? Is it something mental or emotional? Because all of a sudden, you know, his passes didn't look the same. And nothing really looked the same. So we figured something was wrong. What was it? Was it physical or was it emotional? And we found that it was something indeed physical.
Yeah, and
for me, it was all of the above, honestly.
Yeah,
he seemed a little rattled mentally, and then you could tell it was physical. But my thing was, I didn't think it was, it didn't seem like with his play to be the Achilles. So even though it did look like his play looked like he was injured, I couldn't tell where the injury was coming from because I'm like, his foot is fine. The footwork is basically fine. So where is the injury? Now we know that it's a shoulder thing. And to speak to what Terry was talking about the injury report, I saw a tweet exchange with Kurt Benkirst and a fan the other day, you know, former, you know, backup quarterback for the Falcons, Kurt Benkirst. And he was saying how when he was drafted by the Falcons, he hid an injury himself via a whole bunch of painkillers so that he could be able to get through his rookie quarterback camp to be able to preserve his job. And I'm only stating that to say this is a professional quarterback stating how possible it is to hide something like that from the staff.
They don't know something's wrong unless you tell them something's wrong, or if it's just clearly obvious. This guy has 10 years of a body of work that say that he can do the job well.
Right.
They have an expectation that you're going to continue to do that job, right? And it's not like practices in the NFL nowadays are basically just glorified walkthroughs.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
They're not actually doing much of anything.
Nope.
And it's not like he's going to be walking around with an abnormal limp outside of what he already had when he had that Achilles injury. He looked a little gimpy at times, and I mean, that was the biggest thing. But look, this guy, he can hide everything. He can hide it all. But the other big problem that comes from this is now we're in a salary cap issue. Now you have to deal with the fact that he's going to get a $10 million signing bonus on March 17th. That's going to be coming up right after the start of the league year. And he's already owed $27 million. I mean, that's where it puts the Falcons in kind of an interesting situation where I don't know what they're going to do. Terry Fontenot talks a little bit more about what they're going to do in that salary cap position. And he didn't directly allude to Kirk Cousins, but this is what he said.
That's really the first step. And we've been having a lot of meetings about that because it does. It starts with your roster, whether you're talking about extensions, restructures, and we have clear plans in all those areas, but everything that you do is going to affect something else. So we have a clear plan to get ourselves at a good point, and that's very, very critical for us. So we can make sure we make the right decisions with our roster, make sure we get into free agency and add players that can help us, and obviously do the same with the draft.
And Sam, you've got some guys here on this team who are going to be unrestricted free agents.
Right.
Drew Dolman's going to be hitting the open market. Cordero Hodges is going to be hitting the open market. Justin Simmons is hitting the open market. Lorenzo Carter. You got some other dudes who may end up being here in a Falcons jersey next year, but then extra guys like Grady Jarrett,
right,
David Onyemata, they could be cut candidates. What do you think about where this team stands?
Yeah, that's the thing. You got to make some decisions, as all teams do. I mean, up in Philadelphia, they got decisions to make, but some crucial decisions for this team, especially on the defensive side of the ball.
Mm-hmm.
You got to make yourself better. That's the area you need. Grady Jarrett, you want him to be here because he's been a part. You know what he's been a part of it. hometown product and just Falcons through and through.
$20 million.
Yeah.
$20 million is a lot of money to pay.
He gives you something to think about, though, the way he worked and really busted his you know what to get back and have the season that he had last year.
But a defensive lineman on the back half of or the wrong side of 30, owed $20 million. He's coming off of a knee, well, he had a knee injury. He was coming off the knee injury last year.
Yeah.
He didn't look like Grady. He didn't really look like Grady anymore. But having him in the locker room is a very valuable thing. I love Grady. I adore Grady. You know, he's one of the last remaining players on that Super Bowl team.
Right.
You know, and I think he does good things. He's a good person to have in that locker room. It's just that cap number is very, very difficult to swallow. And I just have a really hard time thinking that he's going to – I mean, maybe you can release him and then re-sign him. I don't know if that's the type of situation that he would be interested in doing that just to, you know, alleviate some of the pressure from this cap situation that we're right in. David Onyemata, I don't expect to be here next year.
Right.
But Grady, somebody I would really be disappointed if he wasn't.
Yeah, that's how things are looking. And, you know, unfortunately, if there's some way to do it, like you said, if he's released and do a redo, and that would work.
I don't know if that happens all that often, though.
Not often.
But it's his hometown team. I mean, maybe he'll take a hometown discount. I don't want to get into somebody's checkbook and try to tell them what they should and shouldn't do.
Well, you know where his heart is, know where he wants to be. Yeah. But he also knows it's a business.
Yeah.
And he also knows that there's a market for him around the league. You know, that there are other places that may...
Not a 20 million.
Well, not a 20 million. Not a 20 million. But there may be some other places that may see him and say, hey, we need you coming to be a part of what we're doing.
Yeah.
But like I said, he worked hard to get himself back in a position to be a contributor last year. He needs some help there on the offensive line. But that's the same thing. You got some players that we drafted last year that we didn't get to see a lot of. Maybe we get to see them this season as well, but that's the priority.
Yeah. You trade up to go get Ruco Aurora.
Yeah.
I mean, he's been fine. Brandon Dorlus is somebody who you put investment into.
Mm-hmm.
Braylon Trice is somebody who's going to be coming back next year. It's one of those things that I want to see them go invest in the cornerback position. Go find a cornerback in the free agency market. Bring back Mike Hughes. Then you got three guys right there who could be legitimate players for you in that level. And then draft some defensive linemen and see what you can do. That's really what it comes down to for me. But we'll see what they end up doing. I think that they have a lot of faith in the guys that they drafted last year making that next step. Braylon Trice is going to be under a lot of pressure next year, but Arnold Ebikadie especially is going to be somebody who you put a lot of stock into, and then you just got to stay healthy along that defensive line. That's been something that's plagued this team. Injuries throughout the last couple of years. It's still one of the reasons why they haven't had a winning record in all that time.
Still looking for some pass.
One of the reasons.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. So we watch and see. You know, what happens going forward with this Falcons team. All right, coming up next, college basketball.
Hey-o.
Is happening. Yep. Tim Scarborough is going to join us up next. You stay with us on this Saturday morning. It is Sam. It is Garrett. It is Noel. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
What is Dax? Are you
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen. Yes, I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for.
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge. Trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Got Sam, we got Garrett sitting in for Greg on this Saturday morning. Glad you are with us. And boy, it's that time of year, right? Calendar turns. Today is March 4th. We think of the March to March Madness and the fun time that comes with the NCAA basketball tournament. The question is, who's going to make it? Who's going to be in? Who's going to be on the other side of the bubble?
I got one team who I really want to be in. I need to be in.
Yeah?
It's a team that I never see win.
Uh-oh.
Them Georgia Bulldogs, man. Hey, can they get it done? They got a big game today.
You know what? We're going to check in with somebody who keeps an eye on all things college basketball. I think he's working some games this weekend, by the way. Tim Scarborough joins us now on the WaitForIt.com hotline. Tim, good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. How you guys doing today?
We're doing fantastic, man. It's a beautiful day here in Atlanta. You're working a game. Where do we find you this Saturday morning?
Well, this morning, I'm not far from Atlanta. I feel like it's a home game for me. It's Montgomery, Alabama, just a couple hours drive south. So, yeah, didn't have to get on a plane this weekend. And, yeah, covering Alabama A&M versus Alabama State and the SWAC. The big tournaments are coming up soon. The SWAC tournament is actually in Atlanta this year, and I get to cover that as well. So, yeah, it's been fun being around HBCUs this past season. You know, of course, I've covered games all over the country from the West Coast Conference, Mountain West, Atlantic 10, Conference USA. So I'm all over the place. But the SWAC's been kind of fun this year.
So this team you're covering today, I mean, you get Kennesaw State, or tomorrow, I should say. Is this a team that you think could potentially make a run to a tournament? I know they've got – at this point, they're going to have to go win the conference, but – look, is that something that you think that they can do? Is that something they can put things together and maybe make that magical run like they did earlier in the season when they beat Rutgers?
Yeah, you know, I was at that Rutgers game, and, you know, that some of that was home court advantage. That atmosphere was absolutely electric. Many media members there, sellout crowd. They played off that energy. They won't have that in Conference USA tournament. And, you know, of course, Sam knows. I played at Liberty, and I've covered Conference USA for many years as well, now that Liberty's in Conference USA. And coincidentally, that you mentioned it, they do sit at the top of Conference USA as we speak.
He would say that, wouldn't he?
In,
yeah.
In
see. He never misses a beat. But what do you think about the game tomorrow, though? What do you think about the game tomorrow? Of course, they're playing up there.
Yeah, so that's the game in Lynchburg. I'm actually thinking about flying up there to watch that. I'd love watching Kennesaw play. I love the way Antoine Petway prepares this team. They play with a lot of energy. You know, I asked them earlier this year, you know, how they rebound so well. And he said, we call basketballs, people call them 50-50 balls. We call them 80-20 balls. We believe we should get 80% of the loose balls. So, and they do sometimes. That Rutgers game was a prime example. They rebound them like 47-26, something crazy like that. But, they'll have to go up to Lynchburg with a lot of energy. It was interesting, you know, I do a podcast for Liberty. And we talked to Richie McKay, the head coach of Liberty. He said, you know, this is a real big rivalry for Kennesaw. I was like, wow, that's a shots fired there. So I was like, that might be some bulletin board material for Antoine Petway and his group. Because if they hear that, they're going to say, okay, all right, you guys think you're better than us. We'll find out. But, to answer your question about the tournament, that Conference USA tournament is up for grabs. There are teams in the middle of the pack that I think could win it all. Of course, Jacksonville State is really good in Alabama. Liberty's good. Kennesaw's good enough to win it. There's no question about that. They could put together three games and win that thing because they've proven they could beat anybody in that league. They beat teams at the top, but they've lost to teams at the bottom. So, and that's the case for almost every team in Conference USA. It's a really good season, a balanced league, and it's a shame, really, because they're the eighth. I don't think people realize this. When you look at the conference rankings, 32 conferences, Conference USA is eighth in the country, but still perceived as a one-bid league. And the reality is, when you look at all the bracketologists, it's a one-bid league. So whoever wins that day in a couple Saturdays from now, that's going to be the team that dances, and everybody else will be trying to find, you know, partners elsewhere in the NIT and so forth.
Tim Scarborough joining us here on the WadeFord.com hotline, talking all things college basketball. Let's move into the SEC here just for just a moment. This tournament, I'm fascinated with what's going to be happening at the SEC tournament up in Nashville. 13 teams in Joe Lunardi's most recent bracketology reveal.
Great.
Whether or not we see 13 remains to be seen. I mean, you might have a couple slot stealers coming up here when we get into conference championship season. But the point is that this is probably the best division or conference that we've seen, at least in the last decade, if not longer. I mean, what is it going to take for this? Who's going to separate themselves? I mean, we look at the games today. I mean, several top 25 matchups, and every single week it just seems to be the gift that keeps on giving. But when it's all said and done, I mean, maybe we see the SEC tournament being a harder tournament to win than the NCAA tournament. That's what I heard at various points.
I don't know if I go that far. But, yeah, the SEC is having a banner year on the basketball court. Of course, they usually have banner years pretty much every year on the football gridiron. But, yeah, this has been a really big year. I still think Auburn and Alabama and Florida are the three teams that have a realistic chance of winning a national championship. And honestly, if I'm truly evaluating Florida, I don't think they're good enough to win at all. They may go far, but they could actually get beaten the first weekend. But they're a really good team. But, you know, we see how that NCAA tournament goes. Tennessee's had some teams that you thought, okay, a lot of people, they got their brackets busted because they had Tennessee going to the Final Four, and they're at home in the first weekend. So, but Alabama's a proven commodity. Been to the Final Four this past season. Mark Sears, one of the best guards in the country. They got some bigs that can really play and shoot from the outside. I love Nate Oates' coaching. So I feel like good money, smart money would be on Alabama. Auburn is playing so well that you got to figure at some point they're going to come back down to earth because they're talented, yes. But a lot of SEC teams are talented. But their cohesiveness is off the charts. Those guys just play so well together. And that's why they're tough to beat. And obviously Bruce Pearl is a really great coach. But, the SEC tournament, no telling who's going to win that thing. The three teams I mentioned are favored, but there could be a team come out of the middle of that pack. But 13 teams, Joe Lunardi, my God. Can we get some mid-majors in here? I'm a mid-major guy. I don't want to see 13 Power 5 teams from the same conference, but that's just me.
Spend the time on the WadeFord.com hotline with Tim Scarborough this morning. He is in Montgomery today for Alabama State and Alabama A&M, the HBCU game that he will be on the broadcast call for. And he is social. You can find him at TimScar20 at TimScar20. Auburn is playing Kentucky today. They're on the road up at Kentucky, and it seems not to matter where this Auburn team plays, if they're home or away. And life in the conference on the road is very tough. Georgia's assignment today is at Texas. Thought about this lineup and what Georgia has to do coming off the big win over Florida. How can they carry it forward in the game that's going to be played this evening?
First of all, really good opportunity for Georgia because as Joe Lunardi has it today, Texas is the last team in. And guess who the first team out is? It's Georgia. So, well, you're talking about being able to literally flip-flop your outcome, at least for the time being. This is a great opportunity today. However, Texas is a really tough team. But when you figure that if you're good enough to beat Florida, you're good enough to beat Kentucky, I mean, you certainly should be able to beat Texas. But Georgia will have to play a good game. Mike White has done a great job with this group. And you know, I jokingly said, you know, I don't want to see 14, 15 teams out of the SEC. But if Georgia gets in and they're a 14th team, I'll be okay with that. Because now that I'm a Georgian, you know, I pull for the Bulldogs as well. So should be a good game today, though.
Yeah, it's a critical game. It's a game that they got to go win. But you said that you're a mid-major guy, Tim. And I want to give you a chance to kind of pound the drum for some of these mid-major programs. I mean, St. Mary's out on the West Coast, they're having themselves a fantastic season. I mean, who else on this mid-major level do you see that could make a potential run into this March Madness tournament?
Man, I'd say St. Mary's is Final Four level, honestly. They have done what Gonzaga has done over 25 years. People don't realize this. St. Mary's has been right there with them. When Gonzaga loses the conference game, it's almost always the St. Mary's. Coach Bennett has done an unbelievable job out there. And now he finally has a better team than Mark Few. And they are really showing that they're good. They got a couple of Lithuanian kids. They got Sabonis, Marcelonis' son out there. So they have some really good players. So, I mean, I love St. Mary's. I like what baby Richard Pitino has done at New Mexico. I think they're going to be tough and out of the Mountain West. But the team that people aren't really talking about that I think could be the next, you know, Fairleigh Dickinson, George Mason, you know, some of these teams that have, you know, Towson, that, you know, remember they were 16, they beat the one. Drake is a team.
I was going to ask you about
that. No one's talking about.
I was going to ask you about
that. They're really, really good.
Yeah?
Yeah, that's a really good team.
So we'll watch out for them as a possible team. Those are teams that always, to me, make March Madness so much fun when you have those teams that make it in and do amazing things.
So much fun.
Yeah, they do. They do. Big Ten, anybody from the Big Ten you watch, I see Michigan State is there. But, I mean, you know, and I see Michigan and Wisconsin showing up there as well. But anybody there you see as a legitimate threat, I see Purdue as well.
No. No, I mean, the Big Ten is not what the Big Ten used to be. And give Tom Izzo a ton of credit. He's one of the last remaining legendary coaches. He's been at the place for over 20-plus years. You know, he and Bill Self are kind of that last, you know, group of guys. Of course, Mark Few as well as Gonzaga. Excuse me. But I would say Michigan State, the way they're playing, you know, Tom Izzo has gotten lesser teams than he has today to the Final Four. So always bet on those guys when you have an opportunity. I like what Dusty May has done with Michigan. He brought a couple of his players from that Final Four FAU team. You know, Vlad Golden, his big, who really was well. I can't believe Vlad's still playing. I think I did his games in like 2015 or something crazy. But now he's still playing. At you know, these waivers are just out of control. But to his credit, you know, Dusty May's done a great job at Michigan State. Michigan, I should say. But, yeah, Michigan State, Purdue. I mean, you remember, they were in the Final Four last year. But there's no Zach Edey walking through that door this year. They don't have a 7'4" NBA player on that team. But you know, they're well coached as well. But I just don't see anyway at this time in my crystal ball any of those Big Ten teams going really far in the NCAA tournament. But I'm probably wrong because the NCAA tournament, as we all know, totally unpredictable.
Yeah, Tim, it's been 25 years now, 24 years since the Big Ten's won a title. In basketball, it's just kind of an unbelievable thing. But look, one thing,
they've been there, though.
They've been there. Michigan
game,
State,
you know.
Michigan, Ohio State. I mean, Wisconsin's made it. I mean, like, look, they've been close.
Whiskey, yep.
Yeah, they've been knocking on the door for a little while, but they haven't been able to break it through. But one team that has, of course, is Duke with Cooper Flagg this year. I mean, is there anybody in the ACC that can even give them a push at this point?
We talked about the Big Ten not being what it was. The ACC is nowhere near what it used to be. And then, first of all, there's way too many teams in that league. You know, these West Coast teams and SMU is in the ACC. It's just not the same league. Having said that, and North Carolina is down as well. So it's just a different era. But one thing that hasn't changed is Duke is really, really, really good. You know, Sam knows the Boozer brothers. You know, we watched them play in high school. Carlos Boozer's twins are coming to Duke next year. And Cooper Flagg's talking about staying around and playing with them.
Wow.
So Duke is already looking at probably winning a national championship this year. If that happens, then already pencil in a back-to-back. But let's hold our horses first. You know, Auburn and some of these other teams are out there lurking. But certainly Cooper Flagg's group is good enough to win it all. And it's not all Cooper. That team is balanced. They have a whole lot of blue chip recruits on that team. And, man, it's hard to replace a legend and follow the legend. Usually you want to be the guy after the guy who follows the legend. But Coach Shire has done a great job, man. He's gotten Duke to where Coach K had that program. He kind of, they went down a little bit, but then he elevated them right back to the top.
Sure did. Sure did. He's done a remarkable job. Tim, we always appreciate you spending some time. Have a great call today with Alabama State and Alabama A&M. Look forward to seeing you in the tournament that's coming up in a couple of weeks down at the Gateway Arena.
Yes, sir.
And safe travels. Thanks so much for the time.
Thanks a lot, fellas. Good to talk to you as always.
All right. That is Tim Scarborough getting us up to date on college basketball. Always great to talk some hoops with him and what may be coming up in the coming weeks as we get set for March Madness. And, yeah, okay, speaking of madness, casting call is coming up. Greg's not here. He's left us a few things. We'll tell you about that. But also lost a screen legend this week and some thoughts on an amazing career, an amazing anthology of films. I'm talking about Gene Hackman and the casting call. That's coming up. You stay with us on this Saturday morning. To Sam and Garrett, Noel, other side of the glass here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9TheGame.com. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9TheGame.com. Sam and Greg with Garrett sitting in for Greg. You, this song mean anything to you at all? This is a song from the movie Poseidon Adventure, which Gene Hackman, who we lost this week, was one of the stars of. And it's one of the movies that don't get mentioned when you talk about him. Nobody talks about this movie. And I think somebody once asked him about it, and it wasn't one of his favorites, but he said it made more money than just about any of the other films that he'd done. And I don't know if you know the story of Poseidon Adventure. It's a fictional story of a cruise ship that is hit by a 90-billion-foot wave, and it turns the ship upside down. And the people spend the whole movie swimming to the bottom of the ship to get out, right?
If the
ship's upside down. So that's, but that was, and he was in that movie.
That's not a fun predicament to be in.
Not at all.
I don't think that would be, that would rank very low. I know Abe Gordon's going to be coming in after us. He's a big cruise ship guy.
Yep.
How good of a swimmer are you?
Not great.
Not great.
I would not be in one of them things. I would be toast, man.
Goes on like 3 or 4 cruises a year. Like this guy's, if he's on vacation, he's on a boat somewhere in the Bahamas.
Yep.
Probably.
Okay.
Well, good chance.
We don't call it a boat. Greg doesn't like to call it a boat.
That's a ship.
It's a ship.
That's a ship.
It's different. Yeah.
There is a tangible difference.
There is a difference. Yes, there is.
I get it. Look, I will say this about Gene Hackman. So he passed away earlier this week, age of 95.
Yeah.
A legendary career.
What an anthology. You got a favorite?
You know, I was going to say, I had never seen Hoosiers.
Huh?
I had never seen Hoosiers, and I watched it yesterday for the first time.
Are you serious?
I'm not even kidding. It was always one of those movies that, you know, there's some movies that are just on. And
Noel,
and
can you believe this?
No,
yes, because I haven't seen it.
It's on the list.
And like Gary's saying, it's one of those pop culture movies that you know exist and
you know the references.
You know what it is. And right, so you just haven't like sat down to see it. Like
that's
what happens when things enter the pop culture lexicon and it gets to us younger people. We're like, oh, we check off the boxes and we. But I will say, sometimes when you do that, you don't grasp the whole, you know, feel of the movie, because I thought I knew Casablanca, and I did not.
No, you did not. No, Casablanca,
that's
a tremendous movie. No, that's a really good movie. No, but look, I mean, I wasn't born in 19. I wasn't alive in 1986 when the movie came out,
okay.
You know? And so there are a lot of these older films that it's like you have to set aside time, and if you don't do it when you're a kid and your parents don't do it for you, then you're not doing it, you know? I mean, I watched a lot of those old sports movies, and I love a lot of those old sports movies, but Hoosiers was one that I just never really set time aside to do it. And then when Gene Hackman passed away, I got the full Norman Dale experience.
Yep.
And it was fun. And look, the whole movie is a montage, it feels like. I mean, but outside of that, I really enjoyed it. I really enjoyed it. Jimmy can really play some basketball.
You know what? And Noel, you got that ready for us? You know, because we talked about this week, it's state basketball tournament.
Yeah.
And how teams go and play in foreign and different type environments.
Mm-hmm.
This weekend, they're playing all on college campuses, which will be the biggest gym that a lot of these kids will play in. If they're from small towns and they have only played in the gym, the high school gyms, the sight lines, the higher ceiling, the echo in the building, you know, when they practice, it just sounds different, right?
I will say this. The first time I ever played in a basketball gym with stands behind the glass, right, it was at UAB in Birmingham.
Okay.
And I airballed the first three shots that I took. Because it screws with your depth perception.
Okay, of course.
And it messes with you a little bit.
Of course, of course.
But these kids are dealing with that down in these tournaments.
And so did the team in the movie Hoosiers. I think we got that scene for us, Noel.
What is it? 15 feet.
15 feet. Strap, put Ollie on your shoulders. Measure this from the rim. Buddy? How far?
10 feet.
10 feet. I think you'll find it's exact same measurements as our gym back in Hickory. Okay, let's get dressed for practice.
Yeah.
That was cool.
You know, and so think of the coaches around the state who are doing the same.
100%.
Maybe not the same speech, but something very similar.
Yeah, it's just basketball.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter where it's being played. Basketball's basketball. It's a hardwood, two hoops and a basketball.
Yeah.
Like, that's really all you need.
Yeah.
I mean, and look, I loved that scene. And that's another thing to Noel's point. I knew that scene. I'd seen that scene.
Without even seeing the movie. You knew
I'd never seen that movie, and I knew the scene immediately. And when he walks out onto the court, I'm like, oh, this is the part where he's about to get the tape measure out.
You knew that was happening.
I knew it was coming. Yeah, I knew it was coming, and then he starts pulling it out and doing everything. It was a beautiful movie, a beautiful film. I love movies.
But is there a favorite one by him that you can think of? And a number of these in the Superman movies, and that's back before you.
Yeah,
you
know what I mean? Definitely
the Replacements.
Well.
The Replacements.
That was a good one. I mean, he's been in a bunch of very good movies. I mean,
he's good at playing complex characters.
He is, and I feel like he's also been 55 for the last 60 years.
Yes, 100%.
Does that make sense?
Yes, he's like y'all's Morgan Freeman. I feel like I feel like Gene Hackman's been 60 my entire life.
I like you saying it.
I see these early movies.
He's been y'all's Morgan Freeman.
I love that.
Okay.
60 my whole life.
I never heard him done like, but that's okay. Go ahead. You know what he made? This man made my father buy a car.
Really?
Really?
The French Connection.
Ah.
Oh,
okay.
Great movie.
Yeah.
That's a classic.
Which he's driving this Pontiac Le Mans, and he's chasing the subway through the south side of Chicago. And he's running through downtown Chicago, and he's driving the wheels off this car to chase this subway with this guy on it. And so... The next year, my dad goes out and buys a Pontiac Le Mans.
How about
nice.
That?
A 72 Le Mans. And by the time I started driving, my dad had a different vehicle. He's in the conversion van, some things with the captain seats that swivel and all that. So he didn't care about the car anymore. So that became my first car. that became my first car. But he went and bought a car because he was impressed with the way it performed with Gene Hackman in The French Connection.
How cool is that? But, I mean, he's got classic films. I mean, he's got Mississippi Burning was one.
That was a very good movie.
That's
very well done.
Really good movie.
Which is based on history. You know, that was really good. He got some things like The Royal Tannenbaums.
Which I forgot he was even in. Completely forgot about that one.
Yep, you know. And then there's a Superman movie. So, I mean, there's a lot. There's a big body of work.
Mm-hmm.
And we pick out certain ones that we remember. And he got into the game late.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, which brings us to the casting call.
Yay.
If you are in this area and we got all this production going on, what are you waiting for? All right? Yeah, a lot of productions going on. Greg's going to have a fresh list probably coming up later today or tomorrow. And while he's away, we'll mention a couple of things here. Let me see what we got that people can get into. Okay, filming dates March 26th. March 14th in the Films in Atlanta area. This is an untitled feature film. Catrette Casting needs partygoers. And we all like to go to parties, don't we? Males and females, any ethnicity, portray partygoers 18 to 25 years old. Bring your energy, good vibes for a fun party scene in upcoming film. Must be local in Atlanta and willing to work as a local hire. We got March 26th. We got March 14th, 2025, Films in Atlanta area. Yes, you go to submissions at CatretteCasting.com. And, of course, you put a photo of yourself there and Let's just mention they want to know your clothing sizes as well and any acting experience you may have, but is not required. So that is one. You see any?
I've never been in a movie.
You never been in one?
Never
you've
been in a movie.
You've been in other stuff, though. Folks, in case you don't know, Garrett is in other things. He shows up on television. You've probably seen him a time or two. He is a man who makes appearances. Yeah. How did you end up doing that?
I just through my day job, you know, and it was just a commercial with the governor's office of highway safety. I've done one of those. I voice spots for them all the time.
So right.
If you're listening here on the station, occasionally if you hear a government PSA, that's yours truly talking about it. But
yeah.
Look, I mean, it's just right place, right time. They wanted a young guy to text and drive, and I was a young guy and available.
You're texting and driving.
And I was texting and driving. And the funniest thing about that story, excuse me, is the fact that I almost got a ticket while filming that commercial. So it's a texting and driving commercial, so they don't want you to text and drive.
Yeah.
While, I mean, just don't do that, first off. But I was driving down Buford Highway.
Okay.
Where we were filming the commercial, and then the guy who's filming is like all down in the seat because he's trying to get like low angles and everything else. So it's just me in the car. So I'm like very clearly texting because it's for the commercial.
Right.
And an actual police officer that we had sent off the officers because we filmed the ticketing scene first. So we sent them off because they were busy and they have to go, you know, protect us and
go back to work,
serve the city and everything else. So they go back to work, and then I'm like, all right, let's film this scene. And I'm sitting there texting very clearly. And an officer pulls up right next to me and just looks over at me and shakes his head and put it down. And I put it down, and I was like, sorry, sir. And he drives away. And I almost got an actual ticket while I was filming this commercial.
Nice going.
It's ridiculous. It would have been the funniest random commercial.
Nothing like a little authenticity.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
Garrett Chapman, ladies and gentlemen.
The irony was not lost on me in that situation, let me tell you what.
Wow. Another one's for Extra Casting Atlanta. Extras Casting Atlanta, they have a new project. They have a hospital scene. Males and females, any ethnicity, with experience in the medical field, 21 years and older. So they're seeking experience, real medical professionals. So if you have a real job, I guess you would dress up. If you got some scrubs or something you could wear that you would normally work in, that's the thing, is you make your submissions, your name, age, and two current photos, all your contact. They're shooting this on March 17th and 18th. You must be available for both days. This is a two-day shoot, two-day hospital shoot. That means you get to make that money twice. You do that one. So let's see. Destination Casting, and that is DC Series Casting, DCSeriesCasting@gmail.com. So that's a couple of places that are looking for things. Always go to the casting call here on Odyssey on our website. You can go, 929thegame.com/local/casting call. And that'll, you know, they'll lead you to what Greg posts each and every week. A little listing of places we're looking for extras. Give you some little tips and things to do, some do's and don'ts. They'll get you a chance to be a part of the productions that are happening in and around the area and around the state of Georgia, as a matter of fact. So
yeah.
Go there.
Go be a Greg Clarkson. Go get into a Marvel movie.
You get into a Marvel movie?
You never know. I mean, they're always filming something.
Or get into a soap. Greg appeared in a soap opera this week. And I watched the first episode. Yeah, Beyond the Gates. They're filming at Assembly, which is a new studio up in Dorville, right at the end of the MARTA line. Have you seen the studio right there?
Beautiful.
Isn't that amazing? We've been there. I saw you there.
We
were both there together.
We were cruising, man.
Yeah.
We were hanging out.
That's an awesome layout up there.
It's so cool. It is really neat. They've got like 15 stages up there. I mean, it's exactly what you'd see in a movie.
Yeah.
You know, like, well.
And then you got the back lot, the props that look like houses, look like row houses or something.
Yeah.
They're homes that could be anywhere.
All the props and everything. It's really cool. It's really cool to see.
It really is. Remarkable to see. But once again, you get your opportunity to work on some of these productions in and around the metro Atlanta area. Maybe you have a skill or a talent that lends itself to that. Maybe it could be cosmetology. It could be a carpenter. It could be some different things that are needed. All things are needed. You'd be amazed what's needed for the film industry. You're a driver. Those things that are needed as well, catering. I even know a florist. Oh, you know, certain scenes, they call a certain florist to provide flowers for the scenes. So, hey, you know, look into the film industry. Don't forget to check out 929thegame.com/local/casting call to see what Greg has for you each and every week. We're ahead for the 10 o'clock hour. And we're going to get set for Atlanta United. We're going to check in with Jason Longshore. They're up the road in what they like to call Uptown Charlotte up there. That's what they like to call it anyway. We got a beat down for them folks today. We're going to talk about that at more as you move to the 10 o'clock hour with Sam and Garrett and Noel, other side of the glass, on this Saturday morning here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Nick's, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Nick's Menswear, your friend in style.
Ugh, your clothes are too tight, yet you can't lose weight, even though you've tried so many diets. The reason you're having trouble losing weight could be a liver clogged with fat, and that is slowing your metabolism. Introducing Omicid, a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight, and it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Find out more and see the university studies at omicid.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5HourEnergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.